This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Tom and Jess on Joy.
We've got the beautiful Fiona Patton in here.
I'm very excited about that. There is more important things that we need to be talking about. Ooh, because Ben. I am very,
how
very
How about
angry.
Fires? How about climate change?
Well, no, let's, I know. No, let's let the world burn or Australia
That's right.
burn.
That's let's talk about religion.
We've got firefighters out there, and I know some of these personally from coming from up from Port Macquarie. They haven't been to work now in 5 weeks, so they're not getting paid. They're saying that they're not going to go and fight the fires because they've got to go and feed their family. But these men don't do that. And women.
That's right.
They, no matter how much they say, they're not going to do it. But our Prime Minister decides the most important thing to talk about this day is the Religious Freedom Bill.
That's right. And protecting Izzy Falau.
And protecting...
Or Izzy Falau's right to be a prick.
Yeah.
Oh, this is just, everything is at the moment going back to my wedding, but I had so many guests that were 4 or 5 hour delays, and it was because of the flights, because of the air quality. So many people from Sydney are not breathing. They were coming to Warburton just for fresh air. They were like, the wedding's great, but we've got people
I mean, Warburton's kind of nice.
It's kind of beautiful, but they were coming from places we were seeing pictures that I thought were filtered. This is not, they were saying it was the worst air quality in the world, like beating Beijing, but you know, like that's crazy. Like Bangkok, like what the hell is going on? And there we are now, Religious Freedom Bill.
That's right. And what's terrible is there is actually things that the government could be doing. There is investments that they could be making. There are planes that they could be getting over from Europe to help on this. And they're talking about religious privilege instead. And it's just, I think everybody is just completely aghast at this, you know, and all they're saying is thoughts and prayers for climate change, for the fires. And now we've got the second draft of the, they call it the religious discrimination, anti-discrimination bill, but actually it's all about religious organisations being allowed to discriminate.
Well, I actually heard him say during his little speech, because I can't help but watch it, and he made the things that, and people like St. Vincent de Paul will be able to choose who works for them. St. Vinny's popped out the next day and said, don't include us. We're happy to accept anybody. We don't just say Catholics.
Yes.
Like, they, you know, fancy saying something like that.
I know.
But how, I mean, we're talking about the fires, and instead he should be talking about the Religious Freedom Bill. Here in Victoria, we've been quite lucky at the moment. We haven't had the heat. Are we prepared? Are we prepared for the fires to come at us?
Look, I think that the problem is that we've always kind of shared equipment around the country. So when fires are going on in New South Wales, we send in our equipment and
which they are
and
up there
teams,
now fighting, which is fantastic.
And our teams in from Victoria. But what we're really frightened of is that there's going to be fires in Queensland, there's going to be fires in WA, there's going to be fires in Victoria and New South Wales, and we will not have the equipment to cover all of them. So at the moment we're okay, but if there's still big fires being fought in New South Wales and we get a big fire down here, I think we're going to be incredibly stretched.
And so does Spring Street have backup plans? Like, do you able to ask the federal government to send in the army to help? I mean, are these things that you guys sit up there and have to think, well, if this happens and our crew's up there, what do we do?
Not being in the government, they don't really talk to me about their confidential fire plans, but
they're not confidential. They should be plans not, that for every Australian or Victorian should know what's going to happen if we have this emergency. And we're watching these fires hit the back of Sydney.
That's right.
There's nothing to say they're going to come. I mean, I drove through Lilydale. I was looking at those areas thinking, oh my God, I mean, look, this beautiful area, but what would happen?
But it's dry out there. I was out in Gippsland last week and, you know, it's dry. There hasn't been a lot of rain. So, we are greatly at risk. There is arrangements with the armed services, with the army, but it's not Yeah, it's not terribly organised.
It's not organised.
It's not organised, and we should be much better prepared. We should be also talking to the US. We should be talking to Europe about getting their equipment over here.
Already, ASAP. Not wait until we have fires.
That's
because
right.
If they're in winter and snow, yep. They're probably not using it at the moment. Send it over here.
That's right. That's right. Well,
we have hit a nerve with our audience. We are got lots of people commenting, and we'll talk about how are we prepared, and I would like to know how we're prepared. People are saying, and it's very sad here, because in Australia, we should be leading the world on how we fight fires and how we handle it. And basically, I was reading something yesterday, we have to take climate change. It's a science debate, not a philosophy one. And we're still talking about whether we believe it or not. But
I know. Look, it's depressing, but the listeners are absolutely correct. I mean, we really do need to focus on this, and we need to really push our politicians to recognise that we are in a climate crisis and to be preparing for it, because this year's bad, but next year could be worse, and the year after that could be even worse.
The long range forecast is still no rain that we're coming through. Look, we are going to get very upset, but Fiona, we're coming to the end of the year. What do you think the year has been like up there in Spring Street? Have we had a good government? Have we been governed well this year?
Look, I think it's been a pretty good year. I think they have put through... The government has an agenda, and they went to the election with that agenda. They won the election, and they have been enacting their agenda.
Look, Lisa, we see a lot of building happening, and we've been for years our state has been standing still. You know, we've been still have level crossings, we're still traffic jammed. Let's hope all these things they're doing are going to help us in the long run.
Yep. Look, I think certainly our public transport infrastructure, I think, is a great thing. We still, you know, I'm chairing the homelessness inquiry, and I can tell you, you know, we have forgotten about social housing in this state, and we are so far behind in social housing compared to every other state in Australia and pretty much every other jurisdiction in the world. So we have got a housing crisis.
That doesn't win elections. Because I mean, the average person in the suburbs is more worried about their electricity bill and the price of their mortgage. They don't care that someone has to sleep rough. I was reading somewhere that 30% of our population can't afford housing. Rent is so expensive in this state. So that sends you out to areas where you can't get a job. So you become in this cycle of poverty because, you know, you've got children. Where do you live?
If you are on Newstart, there is not a place for you to live in Melbourne.
No.
You cannot afford a studio apartment in Greater Melbourne.
So you move out somewhere to the outer suburbs where there's no employment. If you don't have a car, how do you get to work?
That's right.
You're stuck in a cycle.
And even out there, I was in Bairnsdale last week, and they're saying we've got rough sleepers. We've got camps setting up on the river in Bairnsdale now, and they have never seen that type of really open homelessness and rough sleeping in those regional cities, in those regional towns before. So we are reaching a crisis, and yes, maybe it doesn't win us elections, but it should be part of our infrastructure. Yeah. It should be part of what we are doing. And there's also things that we could be doing better. We could be preventing people from becoming homeless. And when we know that almost half the people that are on our homeless books now are there because of family violence.
Oh dear.
So we really, it is something that we should be urgently considering and urgently working on. And I would hope that our community does care about homelessness, and I would hope our community does care when children have got nowhere to sleep.
Well, we've always prided ourselves of a country who's taken care of the underdog.
That's
but unfortunately, it doesn't seem to be the way our policymakers are moving. We had a great Medicare system, great schooling system, we had a great social housing system.
Something to be proud of.
But all these things are
that's
falling
right,
down.
But you got, I mean, well, you know the growth that's happening on the outer edges of our city.
Before I live in Point Cook, I can't get out of my suburb anymore.
The houses are just, you know, growing, you know, almost, you can almost see them sprawling. So we need to consider how we make some of that housing more affordable.
Well, we discussed this the other day. I still believe that every time someone puts up a you know, the government says you can build that 40-story tower. Excellent. But two stories of them get now handed over to social housing. No questions asked. You want to build a house in Point Cook, you build 50, you give two of them over to social housing.
Yep.
They're still going to develop the houses. There's still money to be made.
That's right. And that's inclusionary zoning. And that is absolutely the case. And the private sector must be part of this solution. And the private sector is stepping up to do that. Some of them are doing it through philanthropy and doing some really amazing work in crisis accommodation. But
that's not long-term.
Things like inclusionary housing and zoning is definitely got to be on the cards.
All right, so this is what we should be doing next year. Hassling our lovely members up there in Spring Street, writing to our local member and telling them that we are actually sad to see that people in our community are struggling, and no child or adult or anyone should not have somewhere safe to sleep at night.
We've got
enough social issues going on. Fiona, we love having you here.
We
keep you around forever.
Can't wait
to see you here.
See what we have in store for 2020.
It's going to be a big year.
Have a beautiful Christmas.
Thanks,
2 weeks away, everyone.
Wake up with Tom and Jess, Thursdays on Joy Breakfast. Tune in to 94.9 in Melbourne, stream live at joy.org.au or download the Joy app. Find all our podcasts at tomandjessradio.com or subscribe on iTunes or Spotify.
Joy Podcasts, where you want them, when you want them.
Thanks for listening to another Joy Podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.